Thank you for joining the Child Welfare Leaders Podcast, where we challenge the status quo through authentic conversations surrounding the issues in the child welfare field. This is a broken system. Something's got to change. Change starts with us. Learn to lead right where you are with me, your host, Cherish Fields, a master level social worker and your favorite child welfare leader. I hope you're ready because I've planned a great episode for you today that will enhance your skills in whatever position you work in child welfare. You know, before we get started, we got to have our coffee or tea. So make sure you go get that so that you can be ready to enjoy and listen on what's coming up next. I want to give you a quick update. When I started this journey, I lived in Michigan. I provided perspectives from the work that I did there. I have moved and I now fully reside in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm excited to meet new people and make a difference here. So if you are in the area, feel free to reach out. I'm always down for coffee and chats all about child welfare. All right, now you got your coffee? I got mine. I'm ready to dive into the topic today, which is all about the value of knowing policy, how to interpret it well. And if you don't know policy, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you should. I want to empower the work that you do on a daily basis. How we interpret policy is vital to the work that we do if you're working directly with children and youth. One of the things I have observed in the field is not many know policy for themselves. Many know what others have taught them to do and how to do it, but don't really know the policy behind it. This can create a dependency on others for their knowledge for information regarding the job. I think it's valuable to know what the State Department foster care policies are for yourself. Here's some reasons why. Number one, it's good practice, best practice if you ask me, and it's a resource for your job. Two, it gives you power behind your voice. When you need to advocate, you know what the options are and what the limitations are to those options. Three, it reduces errors and mistakes in managing your caseload. If you know the policy while you're doing your case management, you know what goes where, what step is first, what step is last, and then you can also help others in that process, which reduces a lot of errors because you know what forms are supposed to be in there, you know who you're supposed to talk to, you know what step or the next person to call. So it just helps a ton as you're managing your cases. Four, it serves as a guide. It's good to reference in preparing or planning. So if you have the policy, I want to make sure that you actually get a copy of the policy, print it off, and put it somewhere in your office so that you can easily go to it and use it as that guide or that reference when you have a question. Always check policy first. What does policy say? And I think that that is going to be a huge resource and enhancement to the work that you do. Number five, if an interagency worker attempts to tell you that a process goes a particular way and puts pressure on you to do more work, you're aware of if that's in line with policy or not. Look, I don't know about you, but I know when I worked in this position as a caseworker, even in other positions, a lot of people were trying to tell me what to do in terms of my job. Hey, you're supposed to do this with a child. You need to give me this document. So a lot of times I just really started to realize, like, okay, is that my job? Is that their job? And what are they supposed to be doing as well? Because sometimes I feel like I'm doing other people's, you know, jobs. So I went and familiarized myself with policy. And one of the things I would realize is that, hey, that's not my job. That's that caseworker's job. You know, that's the department, you know, worker's job. That's not my job. Because it will tell you this is the state worker's job a lot of times, or it'll tell you private agency worker. If you're in residential care, to say residential worker is supposed to blah, blah, blah. So a lot of this stuff is already outlined in policy. And when you can quickly reference policy, you can go back and say, hey, listen, the policy states that this document is needed. I've provided that to you on so and so forth date. From this date, you are given 2 weeks for this to go up the chain and come back to me by this time so they can be in your record and my record. This also keeps us safe in terms of audits. When you think about audits, you have to have things in the case file, and it should be organized and should be able to be clearly read. And everybody gets audited normally. The State Department gets audited. You as a private agency gets audited. So when you follow policy, it basically also helps you to have better audits, right? So you're not looking for things last minute, right? Because you can stay on top of stuff too. It also helps kind of like guide you in terms of time management, because you know if you provided something to somebody and the policy says that you should get this back returned within 2 weeks, you know to keep following up on it before those 2 weeks hit so that you can make sure that you have it so that everybody stays in the clear. So again, it helps you to know your position and the position of others, and even urge other people like, hey, I do this, but could you get this to me in this amount of time? So good, that serves you very well. Number six, it helps with managing your audits. I said this a little bit before, I kind of got ahead of myself, but when you know policy, you know that policy instructs like case managing, you know how to document better, you can organize yourself accordingly because you know those policies. And again, you're not relying on other people's knowledge or someone else to be sharing outdated knowledge with you, because that can happen too. So when you know policy for yourself, as you're managing your case file, you kind of already know what to expect and to make sure your stuff is there. Now, it's no problem asking other people, hey, do you know what policy says about this? Or, hey, do you know how I'm supposed to do this? And they'll tell you. But again, in my personal experience and the things I've observed, a lot of people don't have up-to-date knowledge of those policy changes. So sometimes you got to go back. And even with myself, I would have to go back and look at policies because they changed on me, right? They enhanced them. They updated it. And sometimes the communication is not always on time, as we know. It's like a delay that the policy changed, right? So I know when I was working in Michigan, dentals used to be yearly, right? You had to have them yearly. Well, ADA decided to adjust some stuff. And then the department decided to say, why don't we have the same recommendations that the ADA has, which is to have cleanings every 6 months. So that ended up changing. Well, because I was kind of in a lot of some of those circles of people who, you know, were kind of like that learned about those policy changes. Those policy changes got to me, you know, through the relationships that I had. So I was like, oh, okay, then we need to make sure that we have this in line and make sure that, you know, our kids and our caseloads get those cleanings every 6 months. And we'll change the way we organize our time, right, to make sure those are done, you know, on time and are in the files. Well, the actual communication didn't come out until a month or two later. So you know a policy for yourself really kind of allows you to kind of stay ahead of the curve and helps you when it comes to audits so that you're not doing a lot of last minute work. Number seven, it makes you more knowledgeable and aids in the quality of how you do your job. It increases the respect level and how you are viewed. People tend to show you respect on another level as they see you to be more knowledgeable and that you take your job seriously. So when I started learning policy for myself, I just realized that a lot of people have more respect and would actually come to me and, you know, kind of inquire. I would kind of be the go-to person when it came to policy because people knew that I knew it, or they knew that I knew how to reference it and get to it quickly. So it just changes the way, you know, some people interact with you as well. You kind of have an answer. Doesn't mean you have an answer all the time, but you 9 times out of 10 have an answer. And so people give you a little bit more respect. And in the courts, when you know policy and then you it's time for you to testify or to give an update to the courts about a particular case, because you know policy, you have already checked in with community partners, you've already talked to DHS, and you're kind of giving that rundown based off the policy because you know what your client is supposed to have. You're not just saying, oh, well, I did this, I did that. No, you're going above and beyond and saying, okay, hey, this person was supposed to get YIT funds. Policy says this. I put in this document on this date, this was followed through. And when judges, jurors, lawyers, everybody see that you've done everything that you can for that client, they might not know that you know your policy, but they can just kind of see like she knows her stuff or he knows his stuff. And it helps in terms of building those relationships, because when you come in and you step before in a court, a lot of times they're going to let you speak in that court because they know that you got something to say and that you're going to be giving them a thorough update. So I found that to be really helpful. Another thing that I'm going to do in regard to just the policy is I'll end up doing an episode on court reporting. When I did court reports, I was highly respected. Our agency and, you know, myself was highly respected in the courts because of the way we did our court reports and the information that was given. So I'm going to stay tuned to that. But that also goes hand in hand with kind of knowing your policy. Number 8, a way to lead right where you are is not having to be in actual leadership role. Not many will carve out time to familiarize themselves with policy. So when you can know policy, it actually helps you kind of like set your role as a leader, because that's a leadership quality. Knowing something and always educating yourself, that's leadership right there. People who don't show leadership aren't going to take that extra time and learn policy for themselves. They're not going to do that. They're going to go through the training, that child welfare training that they usually go into, that you start with when you first start in the position. And then you'll never like see policy again until you go to another training and somebody says, hey, this has changed in terms of your practice. You need to do A, B, C, and D now. That's, you know, so those are the things that you have to that you have to know, because, you know, those are the trainings that you're going to. But if you want to take some leadership, you're going to carve out in your time actually reviewing the DHS policies or DSS policies or the State Department policies. And you're not only going to just review those policies, you might review other policies in different programs like guardianship, adoption, the court policies. You might familiarize yourself a little bit with some of those, depending on what systems you're kind of interacting with on a regular. But that just takes what you do to a whole nother level and shows leadership, and it allows you to lead right where you are without having the authority or the position of a leader. Number 9. It aids in developing strategies for helping clients navigate the system and helping you to overcome barriers. I experienced that when you know policy, you kind of know how to advocate for your client because you know what the limitations are of the policy. You know you're not going to be able to just give them money for them to go to therapy, right? You know that, hey, wait, I know policy. Medicaid has a policy where they'll actually pay for this so I can connect them here, and then there's a pot of money here, right? Or you know how YIT funds are used. You're not just used to it because somebody said, hey, YIT funds are available, and you really don't know how to access them. So you're just asking people, how do you access them? You know how to access them. You'll know what to do, what forms to fill out, because you're following, you know, you can reference that policy. You know how to do it. I also found that, so a lot of times we, you know, in my prior agency, in my prior role, there were some things that weren't necessarily utilized. And because I knew policy, we were able to utilize basically an option for the youth to be able to attend school in different form. And so we were able to do all of the process and then be able to send those things up and try to get those things approved. And I was very surprised that a lot of people weren't really familiar with that particular policy. So a lot of people were coming back and saying, hey, this needs to be done. And it's like, no, that's not what the policy says. So a lot of people really wasn't understanding the policy in its true nature, true form. So it was a lot of back and forth. But because you know it, you can stand on it and allows you to advocate, because people, you cannot debate the policy. Whatever the policy says is what in there, white and black. So they have to follow that policy. And so that helps you a lot in terms of your advocacy efforts, because all you got to do is take them back to that policy and say, nope, the policy says here, and you send it and you let them know. And then they, you know, of course, will usually follow through. So it really helps you when you're navigating the system and trying to help clients. And then number 10, it provides a foundation for evaluation of practice and making improvements. So when you're following policy, it gives you just this foundation, because it's pretty much the way the program is designed. It's that guide, right? And so when you look at policy, and that's why policy gets adjusted and changed, because they realize, wait, things have changed in the system, so we need to make some adjustments as well. So the example that I gave about the dental, where I was working, in the state that I was working, they ended up adjusting where people had to go to, kids needed to go to the dentist twice a year versus once a year. So every 6 months. That really helped, because then we were able to catch, you know, any type of tooth decay or needed fill-ins or, you know, need for braces and things of that nature. It enhanced the care of, you know, the children's, you know, dental care, right? So they adjusted it. That was a great adjustment. They were able to improve that former policy. They just said once a year, because that's bare minimum, right? We don't want to give our clients bare minimum. We want to give them basically the same, you know, access to what everybody else gets. And when I say access, it's because if we were only doing once a year for the kids to go see the dental, that means that Medicaid wasn't going to pay for more than just a once a year exam. But when the state decided to make those adjustments and evaluate their practice, they made those improvements. So then Medicaid opened it up to where they would pay twice a year or every 6 months. So it improved the way we did stuff. So again, it's a foundation to evaluate your practices and make improvements. And this is just not on state department, but even in your own agency. You know, if you work for a private agency and you have policies, it allows you to come together even in your, like, your leadership meetings or your team meetings, and you can talk about what might need to be adjusted. Like, hey, we do this, but can we do this way? And then you guys talk about it, pros and cons of those things, and decide whether or not those things need to be adjusted. Well, so again, use that. But you got to know policy in order for it to be evaluated, right? Policy dictates how we do what is done. A part of the job is having an understanding for how we do what we do and what the steps are to get that done based on the program's design. Now, I'm not saying that you should know policy word for word. I'm not going to say that's impossible, but I'm going to say that that's a lot. When you're in the foster care direct position, or, you know, residential caseworker, or anything like that, it is, you have a lot on your plate. And so trying to sit here and encourage you to learn policy word for word, I can already tell you probably have already cut off the podcast if I was saying that. You'd be like, no, thank you. So I'm not saying that. What I am saying is for you to familiarize yourself with the policy. And a way to do that is, when you have those slower days, is one, to print off. I know it's a lot of paper, but it is advantageous. Print off a policy book and have it in a book, in a binder, in your office, so that you can look at it. And what you'll have is, have it there. And so everything that you do when you're working with the state workers, or you're attending certain, some of these meetings, you can go back when questions are answered and you can try to find it, or just take notes of, hey, I didn't really know what we could do here. And you'll go back and you'll look at it and you highlight it. So a good example of that is, where this was kind of advantageous to me, is medication, right? Medication is such a, how do I put it? It's a challenging topic when it comes to kids, right? Because medication is real, and over-medicating children is also a issue as well. So it's kind of a complex topic, but because everybody has their views in regards to medication. And I believe, you know, only to give a child medication if they absolutely need it. And so that's what we were doing, only giving medication if they absolutely needed it. But one of the things was knowing the process, because, you know, the state, they are under the fire. You know, they got to make sure these kids do not get over medicated at all. And if they're on something, there's a reason for it, and good reason. And so when I was constantly being asked questions about medication, so workers would come to me and ask me, okay, why is this, did you do this, did you do that? And I was like, you know, let me see what needs to be done. And I was doing those things, but it's like, I really didn't know the policy behind, like the state policy of, like, because the state policy and your agency policy, they're going to be somewhat different, because there's contracts that kind of guide, the agency a lot of times. And there are some policies that do guide residential, but sometimes those are kind of somewhat different than what maybe foster care case manager is supposed to do in residential. Some of those things are sometimes more stringent or have a little bit more openness. So what I realized is, let me go back to the policy and let me look and see. And so I was able to highlight, and then I would study that policy because I was frequently having to answer questions regarding medications. So in my mind, it was like, I really need to have my finger on the pulse of what policy is saying. And then also, that was a policy that got updated frequently. So I'd have to go to the website, refresh, and see, always check, when was the last update? Because they'll change it on you. And if you didn't do that one process, you're like, well, I didn't even know, right? So I made it my business to go and often check when that last update was made on that policy, so that I made sure that we were practicing those protocols that needed to be done, so that the case files were also in compliance when it was time for those audits. So again, it's very advantageous for you to print off a book, and then when you see an update, you could just take that section, update that section. And so it's good to have it on paper so that you can highlight, make a note, just reminders, put a little color sticky note there if you want to, because in the big book, because I think there was like 500 pages that I had for our policy where I worked, and in that state policy, it wasn't many changes that I had to make often because some kind of stayed where they were. But the ones that I utilized a lot, I literally took a color sticky, put that there in those areas so I could literally just quickly go to it, because there were times where I had so much on my mind. And so I had to go ahead, and I may have not been able to remember off the top, but I said, I'll get right back to you. I'll go in, check it, see my notes, see where I highlighted, know what applies to us, and was able to go make things happen. So again, knowing your policy is so advantageous. So I'm well aware and understand that policies do tend to change regularly and without notice. So I'm very aware of that, and I hope you are aware of that. However, once you are familiar with the policy, you know where to reference it, and that if there is an issue that does arise, you may need to just quickly reference if you're unsure about that practice and what needs to be done next. So those are the ways you can do it if you print it off and you're able to. Now, if you don't need to print it off and you're like, hey, I don't need to, and let's say it is available online for you, then just go to it. And I don't know if you can bookmark it, but bookmark it for yourself so that you can quickly access it. And then maybe just have a Word document that you use, or a notepad or something that you use, to where you know what page it's on. And so that maybe you just have like a table of contents for yourself of what policy number you constantly are referencing, or you constantly have to use and go back to. And then you could just go back to, oh, okay, I need to go here. So I'm gonna go to my bookmark online, and I'm gonna go tap into this, so I pull up that policy, you know, and I can reread it real quick. So you can do it that way as well. So I hope that works for you. But as a child welfare leader, I find one of the challenging things in this work is to, one, learning and knowing policy enough to know it off the top of your head. Two, to make sure that you're following policy, and not just the spirit of fulfilling the job, but utilizing it to protect and to serve children. A lot of times people just know enough policy to do the job, just to fulfill the job. But I want you to look at policy differently. I want you to see policy when you interpret it. I want you to interpret it from a standpoint of, how is this serving to protect our families and our youth and our children? Number three, applying the policy and considering the policy as a tool in strategy development. So when you know policy, you can utilize it in team meetings with coworkers or supervisions to strategize on options from a policy standpoint. A lot of times we don't always have the answers because we don't really know the policy, and we don't really know what's available to us. So when you know it for yourself, you'll be shocked of how many people, if you bring that to somebody, be like, oh, I didn't know that. Where is that at? Oh, wow. Okay, cool. And you've taught them something, and that helps us all work together. So you're not doing it in a haughty way, but you're doing it in a humble way, and you're doing it in a way because you really care about your job. and what you're doing to serve others. But number four, also not adding rules to the policy that do not exist just because it has been a part of practice that you have seen or that you've used. And I've seen this happen all the time. There's a lot of times where someone else has taught you how to do the job. They have may have referenced policy a little bit. So, you know, hey, I'm able to do this. Hey, I'm not able to do that. But because there's a lack of knowledge in terms of what the policy actually says and a true understanding of it, people add rules like, oh, nope, you're supposed to do that. But then when you go back and one day, let's say you stumble on policy, like, wait, I wasn't supposed to be doing that. And I've been doing that for years. Don't be those people. Don't be that. And if you are that person, don't be that person anymore. So want to encourage you in that aspect too, because when we do that, we make the job harder. And then also that also creates a toxic environment. It creates toxic culture because you got a lot of these rules that people have to follow it. And then if you break one of the rules or if you put something on somebody else to do, that honestly frustrates people. It gives, you know, gives off irritation, and it's harder to work with folks like that. I think that's one of the hardest things in child welfare a lot of times is you have to work with people who don't necessarily like what they do because they're frustrated at what they do, or they become jaded by the system, you know, because of the amount of disappointments that they've seen and or frustrations in navigating and being able to truly help. You know, so the frustrations are right, right? The frustrations are something that, I mean, I'm frustrated at a lot of times. However, I do think that if you're making up rules that are attached to a policy that those rules were never there, it just makes the job so much harder, and it doesn't have to be. So those are some of the challenges that I think is hard in this work that people don't really consider. Now, this is my opinion. I think we should have a relationship with the position that we have, meaning you should care about the position you are in to help nurture the position. If you have a relationship with yourself, right? You do things that help to nurture who you are, right? So you're going to self-care. You're going to do things because you like certain things. You're going to take care of your body. You're going to do all this stuff. Well, in a position, I think you should have a relationship in that position where you're going to do things that nurture that position. You're going to nurture the growth and development of that position. You're going to do things that help you to stay on top of what that position requires. And you're going to also maybe talk to others on how you can enhance that position that serves children and youth even better. You're going to spend time to understand what the position is asking you to do and know. You're going to learn your cases. You're going to build relationships with everyone that you work around and with. So this will include judges, lawyers, families, caseworkers, family workers, foster families, adoptions, adoption agencies, adoption workers, state staff, cross systems like education, mental health, juvenile justice, and community partners, and anyone else you can think of. Because the more relationships you have, the more of a resource that they are to you and you can be to them. And that's how you can really navigate the system with more ease. I made it my business to know policy so that I'm not doing just anything, but understanding what is supposed to be done. I took the time to learn other departmental policies, such as adoptions or court policy, because those are the two that I worked with the most. So depending on what who you're working with and what you're doing, look at those different departments and kind of say, should I know, would it be advantageous for me to know some of those policies that they are? Now, I didn't know all of adoption policy, but I made it my business to kind of know when foster family signed or a pre-adoptive family signed certain documents or the adoption process, when it went to court, how many days, you know, was it allowed? Because, you know, you will find that there's so many changes in workers, things and balls get dropped. And you're like, wait, and if I'm advocating, I can't go and accuse people, right? I have to say, hey, I know that policy says this, you know, in regard to it being 45 days and this was turned in or asked of me on this day and I turned it on this day. And now we're about to hit those 45 days. Do we know, and maybe this worker changed, do we know if this has been reassigned and if we'll be able to get this submitted? I would just hate for the child have to wait longer because we didn't do our part. You see what I'm saying? So it's your approach. But then when you know policy, you can go and talk to somebody. And a lot of times when they know that you know policy, they're going to do that job, right? Because at the end of the day, you want to serve on the best interest of that child, and them waiting constantly in the system because caseworkers have changed, someone doesn't know policy, so they didn't drop the ball, or, you know, whatever the issues are, you don't want that to impede the progress of what's supposed to be happening for that child. Or even in reunification situations, right? Well, hey, we're supposed to be doing these visits. It say they're supposed to have quality visits. That's what policy said. I used to have to use that all the time and say, well, quality. So let's talk about what we think quality should be. And let's come up with meeting with that parent and seeing what they feel like quality is. And then let's come up with some mutual goals to work on to make sure that those visits are happening in the best way that serve that family, so that that kid can be reunified with the parent or the relative or whomever they're going to. But again, it's all about knowing the policy. In some places, I found that there's a culture of practice that others will tell you what you're supposed to do. And there are many times than not that it's not policy for you to do those things. So you'll end up doing more work than you realize you're supposed to. So don't fall for that trap. I want to encourage you as a child welfare leader, learn it for yourself. Again, learn policy for yourself. Learn the department policy if you work for the state, but also learn the private agency policy too. You can always request those policies. They're supposed to be open if you ask for them. Sometimes they're posted online for you to see. But what is your policy concerning this? You play as the parent for these children. So I always say too, like, if my child was to go into residential, I want to see your policies and procedures, because I want to know what your staff is supposed to be doing. I want to see what the responsibility is of my child. And I want to know what is available in terms of support for my child and for me. So in my brain, that translates. If I'm serving along with the state, right, as a representative of the state, or person who is responsible for this case, which ultimately means this family, then I want to know, if I'm working with this agency, what are the policies behind what they're doing, so that I can have a better understanding as well. Because I also think that we get irritated when we don't know. We assume that somebody's supposed to be doing the same thing that we do, maybe because we work for the state and maybe the agency is not supposed to. And so there's frustrations there as well and can cause tension. We don't want tension. We need to be unified. We need unity and we need to work together. And I think that policy can allow us to do that. It can be a tool that we leverage to do that. Also, I want to encourage you as a child welfare leader, learn it for yourself, but also when you have to interpret it, think from a perspective of the policy serving children and families, not serving the system or your higher ups. You know, I do think there are some that just know policy in order to, you know, higher ups will say, hey, you need to do A, B, C, and D because it's the policy. Don't, even if that's said, don't look at it from that way. Look at the policy. The best way to interpret policy is to always look at the policy from what it was designed to do. Always. Never look at it from the pressure of what your higher ups want you to do, or look at it from the approach of the system, right? Look at it from what it was designed to do. Policies have always been designed with the intention, out of the spirit, to protect and serve children. So look at it from that standpoint. Now, do we do a good practice of it? No, we don't. We know the system is failing. We know that it's broken, right? But we can change that brokenness when we decide to take ownership and look at the policy for which it was designed and not make up rules along the way. Look at the spirit of the policy and follow it with that in mind. Consult with your, when you look at policy, use the policy to fight for justice for those that you're serving, because that's what they deserve. Also, consult with your supervisor. Utilize your supervisor. Utilize coworkers, right? Have them look at the policies. What do you see? What do you see when you read this? Because sometimes you need other perspectives to make sure that you're interpreting correctly as well. And then use the policy to navigate the system. This will be a resource to you. Policy is so important to what we do. Will you start to learn policy? I hope my 10 reasons why you should convince you to do so. Let me know if you see a difference. Also, let me know some things that you have found that have improved how you do your job. Let me know by emailing aleader4change@gmail.com. Again, that email is aleader4change@gmail.com. With the foster care system going through so many changes, learning policy can be difficult. But I urge you to find some ways to be in those circles that change is happening in through joining task forces, committees, or other groups. Take a little time per day to read over policy from your state department or your agency. You will learn a lot, and it will help you learn how to navigate the system faster. I hope this is helpful to you. If you enjoyed this episode or are enjoying this podcast, make sure you share on social media. Recommend this podcast to your followers. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to your podcast. It's free and goes a long way to support the podcast. But until next time, be blessed and know that you are the change that you want to see, and you can lead right where you are.